The following episode of K-Voice was recorded at 3:58 p.m., April 10th, 2018. Things may have changed by the time you listen to this show. Enjoy the show.
Double, double, toil and trouble. Trump is an idiot, not worth a ruble. Down to the prisons we will take. The orange bald one, boil and bake. Eye of Newt
Gingrich.
And toe of frog. Jailed are Trump's kings and tongue of dog. Nunes is a dumb blind fool's thing. Mueller's words will make Trump sing. For a charm full of powerful trouble, like hell broth boil and bubble.
Hi, thank you for checking out this episode of K-Voice of Resistance. I'm your host, Kelly.
Resist!
Did you know that feminist witches are casting hexes on one Donald J. Trump? President of this reportedly great country?
Hashtag magic resistance.
It's true! Okay, I know it's true, because the news told me it was true.
Breitbart news, that is.
So the story is this. Right Wing Watch reported them on Breitbart Radio. Tech writer.
I can't believe this guy knows anything about tech.
Tech writer Charlie Nash told Breitbart editor-in-chief Alex Morrow, in all seriousness, that feminism and witchcraft have become, quote, increasingly entwined, unquote. According to Nash, feminist witches are joining together against Donald and are building elaborate, quote, altars and tables with candles and pentagrams, unquote, to create a sense of a sisterhood. Beware of those sisterhoods. Women in groups being nice to each other? We can't have those, can we? And then he says, okay, this is my favorite line, quote, they have these other women, which they can kind of get together and have a weird time with, unquote. What kind of devious thoughts are in this good Christian's mind, do you suppose?
Wanna get weird?
I don't know if he's a Christian, but I figured it was a safe bet. Now, I don't doubt that there is a small segment of feminist society who are Wiccans and who are indeed placing hexes on this Neanderthal's supreme leader. But I can assure him, if Donald goes down, it will have nothing to do with feminist witches and the website Etsy. Oh yeah, that's another thing. He thinks that Etsy is selling hexes and witchcraft. So later, he says the only somewhat founded thing of all his fear-mongering drivel. He says, quote, they feel like they have a connection to the persecuted women of the Salem witch trials. They look at these women and see them as kind of victims of patriarchy almost. Unquote. Ha! Yes! Absolutely! I mean, not completely, by any stretch of the imagination, completely, but partly, yes. And if he is correct that there are women saying that sexism and the patriarchy are the only reason the trials happened, then they too need to get their heads out of their asses. But yes, the patriarchy was part of the reasons why the trials happened, along with mental illness, odd physical illnesses, opportunistic sociopaths, religion, and about 1,000 other reasons. Well, or theories. Oh, and of course, the overall arching reason of reasons is ignorance. And you know, I would put my money on the possibility that were we to have a poll that asked whether or not we should hold witch trials again, we would discover a disturbingly large percentage of the population wanted to and thought that they were justified. Now, I'm not saying large like 50%, but even like 2% is crazy, and I think maybe totally possible. 2% is 6.5 million people. Even 1%, 0.5%, any of that is a terrifying number.
We have found the witch, might we burn? Burn!
Anyway, let's talk about stuff that actually matters. Because, goddammit, there is a lot. Let's talk about Arizona. And for a state that is nearly purple, it sure does a lot of deep red BS. They just screwed over thousands of deferred action for childhood arrival kids, DACA kids. Currently, there are more than 2,000 DACA students living in Arizona, many for nearly their whole lives, and they attend Arizona state and community colleges and pay in-state tuition. Cause you know, they live there. Well, According to a new ruling by the asshole Arizona Supreme Court, recipients of DACA are no longer eligible for in-state tuition. According to Arizona Central, in-state students at Arizona State University paid $10,640 this year, while non-resident students paid $26,470 this year. Residents pay $86 per credit hour at the Maricopa Community Colleges, compared with $241 for non-residents. I have to ask, why is it that this country wants people who are uneducated? I mean, besides the obvious greed in conservatives enjoying a dumb populace. But the more education, the better the jobs people get. The better the jobs, the more money they make. The more money, the more they pay into the tax system. The more money in the tax system, the better hotel Scott Pruitt can stay in. As Ashley Reese of Jezebel said, quote, particularly in the current climate, forcing undocumented Arizona residents to pay three times more for tuition comes across as a warning. DACA recipients might still be temporarily shielded from deportation, but its protections and promises are being chipped away bit by bit, unquote. Meanwhile,
get a load of this asshole.
Talking Points memo reports that an Interior employee named Kevin Sabo, who promoted Parkland conspiracies comparing the Parkland shooting survivors to Nazis and sharing posts that suggested the shooting was a false flag somehow involving Debbie Wasserman Schultz,
because, you know, anti-Semitism,
was convicted of cutting his ex-girlfriend's brakes in 2000. Well, this must be awkward for the administration. Or maybe totally normal. And then this... this is not a U.S. thing. It's just a fun story about Texas. My Statesman reports that a sketchy former doctor named Rick Ray Redalian, who calls himself the Maverick Doctor...
Oh, yeah.
And who married his 15-year-old stepdaughter.
Oh, my God.
And had his medical license suspended in three different states, was appointed to head the state's Rural Health Task Force by Texas Agricultural Commissioner Sid Miller. Naturally, Rick Ray Redalian promoted his own business in the job. Redalian, who donated heavily to Miller's campaign, surprise, surprise, months before his appointment, said he used the unpaid task force position to advocate for expanded access to telemedicine, a service offered by one of his companies. Next.
Corruption.
The Kushner family has struck a deal to buy out one of their partners at the struggling 666 Fifth Avenue building they own. But nobody is sure where they got the money. Did the Easter Bunny leave it for them in their accounts this year? I mean, if that is the kind of stuff the Easter Bunny is giving out this year, then I feel cheated. All I got was a cat. Trumpy Poo loves him some dictators, which is probably why he thinks he can get away with acting like a petulant child toying with people's lives with zero regard for the law, or reason for that matter. After the FBI ordered the raid on the office and whatever of Trump's personal lapdog, fixer and lawyer Michael Cohen, Donald said in an unhinged rant, something disturbing, that it was an attack on our country.
It's an attack on our country in a true sense. It's an attack on what we all stand for. So when I saw this and when I heard it like you did. I said, that is really now in a whole new level of unfairness.
Shut up!
Listen, his attacks on Special Counsel Robert Mueller are likely to backfire resoundingly, because if he tries to fire Mueller, Americans across all 50 states are vowing to take to the streets. 300,000 of us, to be exact. Google nobody is above the law to find out where the closest march is near you. Again, if actions are triggered before 2 p.m. local time, events will begin at 5 p.m. local time. If actions are triggered after 2 p.m. local time, events will begin at noon local time the following day. I'm going to keep reminding you guys because I have full expectations that Donald will move on this before all is said and done. And we are not going to stand for it. We will be standing and marching against it. I mean, whatever. You know what I mean. So, the ATF is losing guns. Not losing on guns, but losing guns. Because what is the fun of taking guns off the street if you can't put them right back on again? A recently released report from the Inspector General, IG, for the Department of Justice reveals that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms has allowed for guns, ammunition, and explosives seized by the agency to be lost or stolen.
You're not helping!
The Department of Homeland Security has also lost track of hundreds of guns in their possession. The IG's report detailed, quote, 26 instances of lost, stolen, or missing firearms, unquote, between the fiscal year 2014 and 2017. One of those missing firearms was later used in the commission of a crime, and corrective action was recommended. Rates of loss decreased since the last report in 2008, but are still higher than a prior report in 2002. According to the Washington Post, high rates of missing ammunition were discovered as well. Approximately 31,000 rounds across 13 ATF sites. If the same rate applies across all 275 ATF sites, as many as 650,000 rounds could be unaccounted for. Explosive material logged by the agency also could not be entirely accounted for. The agency currently holds approximately 35,500 seized firearms, stun guns, and silencers. A similar report regarding the management of firearms by DHS released in October 2017 found 228 firearms were lost, and a prior report in 2010 found that 289 lost handguns, rifles, and shotguns over a three-year period.
This is ridiculous!
That's not a good thing. Charlie Pierce of Esquire, again, one of my favorite writers, has a must-read piece called I'm Skeptical About a Blue Wave in November. He's not skeptical because Democrats are infighting or anything like that. No, he's skeptical because Republicans have rigged the system. The rigged bit, we know. But the bulk of the article discusses the media's beloved narratives in a way that had me saying to my cat, Right? I know, right? My cat didn't care. Charlie writes, quote, sometimes I truly despair for our elite political media. Sometimes I believe that if many of them saw a guy walking down the street with a duck on his head, they would make sure to go on television and point out that, hey, it might have been a duck walking down the street with a guy on his ass. Unquote. He points out a political piece about the race to replace Democratic Congressman Rick Nolan in Minnesota. The headline reads, Democrats in disarray. A must-win House race. Dun-dun-dun! So there are five Democrats running, and Politico says that internal fighting is giving the desperate GOP some hope that they can pick this seat up. I guess the White House has taken notice as well, and Politico claims that Donald's presence could actually help clinch the seat for Republicans. Politico writes, quote, on Minnesota's Iron Range, a historically Democratic and blue-collar part of the state that Trump won by a wide margin in 2016, conflict between environmentalist and pro-mining Democrats over the future of copper nickel mining in the region has fractured in the party, and Trump's decision to set new tariffs on steel and aluminum imports has further scrambled the equation after the announcement drew widespread local praise, including from veteran Democratic Representative Rick Nolan and other Democrats. Unquote. Charlie wants to know if it is a rural district or a mining district, or, as he puts it, floor wax, making the point that the details help. But more importantly, the piece in no way addresses the headline. Democrats in disarray? How? They present no evidence in the piece, proving that the Democratic candidates differ all that much on the issues. It is something that has really been getting to me. It's not just the political piece. It's all over the place. How liberally the media splatters Democrats as being at such odds. They said Hillary and Bernie were miles apart, yet they voted with each other all but 5% of the time. And yes, on some very big votes. Like Hillary was for the Iraq War when Bernie was less than stellar on gun control votes. But fundamentally, they're pretty close. Not to say that there isn't contention between the Bernie wing and the Hillary wing. Of course there is. But even at that, I fully believe that those issues are more personality than labeling issues than anything. And more than that, I think that the media did everything it could to drive a big ol' wedge down the middle. So Charlie moves on to the point that I could not agree more with. It is about the multitude of pundits who, on repeat, talk, wonder if there is room in the Democratic Party for policy-driven candidates who are running on, say, healthcare and jobs, rather than on impeaching Trump. Katie Turr,
who I love,
on Meet the Press, wondered if there is room for candidates like Connor Lamb. Quote, "Is there room for that in the Democratic Party? When you look at the progressive base, they are very angry. The very angry part of the Democratic base that wants Donald Trump out of there, and out of there immediately. They want a Democratic majority in the House and the Senate to come in, and they want him impeached. There is that same fire and vitriol that is anti-Donald Trump that supports Donald Trump." Unquote. And the answer is, of course, yes! Listen, yes, progressives want him out of the office, want him impeached. But we also want healthcare and books for children in school and an air we can breathe and water we can drink. As Charlie Pierce writes, quote, "I have great admiration for Katie Turr, but honestly, have you noticed any Democratic candidate anywhere running on the platform that the president should be impeached? I haven't, and I doubt Turr has either. The fight in the Democratic Party is about policy. The most recent dust-up was between progressive and conservative Democratic senators over the banking bill." Unquote. I am tired of hearing questions about whether the divisions in the Democratic Party can be papered over. And the answer is, of course, yes, they can. For example, Connor Lamb. If there is a good enough candidate, we will come together when needed. And I know what you're going to say. Hillary and Bernie, they didn't come together over that. Hillary won, y'all. We may have lost some burners. And yes, they really may have screwed us in some states. That's its own issue. But it's hardly an impossible rift. No matter how much pundits want to make it one for the sake of headlines and talking points or whatever. So no, if we don't take back the House, and definitely not the Senate in November, it's not because of a phantom disarray and schisms. It's because Republicans cheat. Charlie writes, quote, "As the Brennan Center wrote, because of maps designated to favor Republicans, Democrats would need to win by nearly an unprecedented nationwide margin in 2018 to gain control of the House of Representatives to attain a bare majority. Democrats would likely have to win the national popular vote by nearly 11 points. Neither Democrats nor Republicans have won by such an overwhelming margin in decades." Unquote. So, you know, it's a tough haul. But we're going to fight for it, and we're going to show up, and we're going to vote, damn it. And while I'm yelling at the media, can you guys stop having Chris Christie on, please? How is he relevant anymore? A failed, corrupt ex-governor who states hated him. I mean, even Trump cast him aside. Stop it. Just stop it. Speaking of voting in 2018, a law was passed in 2016 that allows young people to vote in California. I mean, it allows young people to pre-register to vote in California when they turn 16 so that they are able to exercise their 26th Amendment rights promptly upon turning 18, which is amazing. The result? California Secretary of State Alex Padilla has reported that the number of pre-registrants has now exceeded 100,000. So these slackers, as older generations like to pretend they are readily amped to vote. They are young and in California, so they're likely mostly Democrats, which, you know, it'll help Jack all in the presidential election because blue state. But when it comes to local races, they can make a huge difference in some key races. Congress is back in session, y'all. And yeah, I don't know. It's fine. I'm sure they will accomplish very little, and what they do will be harmful. So we have that to look forward to. Tuesday, the House convened to vote on 5 bills, including one which was to increase prison term for people convicted of stalking minors. On Wednesday, there will be votes on bills to make the process of designating banks as systematically important more transparent and requiring banks to do one stress test per year instead of two, which means it'll pass because deregulation and Republicans. And then the House on Thursday will vote on a balanced budget amendment in the Constitution, which is hilarious. According to Scalia, women are not afforded equal rights and protections under the Constitution. But please, yes, let's find a constitutional way to overfund wars while undercutting social services. The amendment is extra laughable, considering the tax bill they passed this year, because Republicans. On Friday, we have a bill to simplify the process of banks' compliance with the Volcker Rule, which, whatever, it's a deregulation bill of sorts. So, you know, it'll pass, because Republicans. And in the Senate, they're debating on the confirmation of Clara Boo to be a U.S. District Judge for the Eastern and Western Districts of Kentucky. According to the Vetting Room, Boom has spent the majority of her legal career focused on advising and defending corporations and financial institutions as an associate at King and Spalding. However, Boom represented General Motors successfully, defending a consent agreement granting the corporation credits against future taxes. Similarly, as a partner at Lexington, Horn successfully defended Central Bank against a suit alleging violations in the Right to Financial Privacy Act. Boom also helped implement a $90 million acquisition of coal terminals and coal mines in Kentucky, Virginia, and West Virginia. Woohoo! She did work in financial crimes for a bit, where she aided in the prosecution of Gary Douglas Burks for a kickback scheme involving defense contracts. She did have some on the Bar Association say she was not qualified for a federal judgeship. Though, there seems to be some confusion over this. I don't know. She seems to be more on the side of what a normal Republican would nominate, which is to say not good, but also not an ideological nightmare either. The rest of the Senate schedule is not announced, but likely more judges will be voted on. Coming our way across the border is an evil, devil-worshipping crew of rogues and 7-foot-tall bandits raping and pillaging their way from Honduras across Mexico and ready to invade our country on horseback with grenade launchers, ready to turn our men gay, make our children like dubstep, and impregnate our women and make atheists of us all. Or so I hear.
This journey coming up. Women are raped at levels that nobody's ever seen before.
And maybe Mexico should stop allowing hundreds of thousands of Central Americans to cross the length of 2,500 miles of its country into the U.S.
Been speaking with General Mattis, we're going to be doing things militarily. Until we can have a wall and proper security, we're going to be guarding our border with the military.
You see, once the illegals arrive here on American soil, what do they start doing? They get all biblical on us and they start turning out the babies. And so every one of those babies is a new dreamer. I mean, sweet mercy, America. How many more of these dreamers are we going to have to take care of?
Set up tent city where these people, if they come across, they're detained immediately. So they never get more than a mile from the border. Use, if necessary, Defense Department funds for
right.
that. That's what we did 20 plus years ago when a lot of Cubans and Haitians came.
Yes.
We built a tent city in Guantanamo. So
the media will focus on maybe one woman out of 100, but I've watched the videos closely. Just like the North African invasion. It's like we'll see one woman, and the media focuses on that, who's sent over as a tokenism. This isn't women and children. This is men. They've been organized by Soros and the UN, and they are setting a migration wave chain to implode the U.S. and sink this lifeboat, not just the others.
The reality is much different. The reality is much more heartbreaking. Donald and his fearful racist fearmongers, who consider themselves good Christians, are right. There is indeed a caravan of more than 1,000 people working their way across Mexico. Most of them are Hondurans, as well as Guatemalans and El Salvadorans. They left the southern Mexico border on March 25th, and for days traveled north en masse, by foot, hitchhiking, and riding on the top of trains. They're not coming for our women, or Fox News viewers, Medicare and Social Security, like they like to think so. Instead, they are fleeing violence and poverty in their homelands, not only seeking a better life, but as often as not for a chance to live at all and grow old. And for this, our president is sending the National Guard to the border. And for this, he is threatening Mexico, saying they will pay dearly should they not stop the caravan. Last week, according to our president, Mexico did just that. The dispersed caravan, because of his threats, of course.
I hope you're going to tell that caravan not to get up to the border. And I think they're doing that because as of 12 minutes ago, it was all being broken up. We'll see what happens.
But there's no evidence to that. Instead, the New York Times reports that the Mexican migration authorities were distributing transit permits that would either give the migrants 20 days to leave the country or 30 days to formally apply for legal immigration status in Mexico, like any normal country should when a desperate people come to their land seeking refuge. There are 300 kids and 400 women, nursing mothers and babies. They are moving in a group to protect each other the best they can. This population is nearly as vulnerable as it gets. And of course, the group does not plan on storming the border. They plan on dispersing at Mexico City. They are hoping to seek legal immigration here. Or in Mexico, they have to. They are trying to do it right. Byron Cardona Castillo is a 27-year-old. He has been traveling with his 2-year-old daughter from their home in Honduras and was hoping to apply for asylum within the United States. Quote, "The truth is, what we're looking for is a way to live in peace, in tranquility, with employment. In my case, all I ask is for an opportunity, a chance to work, and help my family." Unquote. Wow. What a monster, huh? An El Salvadoran woman running with her family from gangs who had killed their brother and threatened the family, named Miss Contreras, made the point to the New York Times that the one thing all immigrants have in common was their agonizing decision to migrate. She asked, quote, "Who wants to leave their country, the comfort of their home, their families? It's a very difficult thing," unquote. Many of those in the caravan represent a diversity of sexual and gender identities. They call for an end to the violence and discrimination against women and LGBTQ people in their home countries and elsewhere. According to various human rights groups, all three of the main countries these people are coming from, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras, have a high rate of violence against LGBTQ people. U.S. officials have been blocking attempts to apply for asylum here, whether migrants are fleeing anti-LGBTQ or other types of persecution. Anyway, that is who is in this caravan. The caravan that so much of America is terrified of. Okay, guys, it's that time of year again. Time to hit the streets and fight for our right to reason, to hypothesis, to conclusions, to stand for curiosity and scientific method, to exploration and discovery. Time to declare that the truth, that facts and reality exist, that smart people matter and school is good. Time to take a risk and boldly say climate change is real. Gravity is both theory and proven, and the Earth is round, goddammit. Spaghetti monster, dammit. From Washington, D.C. to Abuja, Nigeria, science supporters across the globe are mobilizing. Events range from science experts and festivals to rallies and large-scale marches, but they are united with shared goal. March for Science events energize science advocates from multiple spheres to create tangible change and call for greater accountability and public officials to enact evidence-based policy that serves all communities. Go to www.marchforscience.com to find a march near you. Okay, guys, that is all my time. Thank you for sticking with me and this episode of K, Voice of Resistance. You can stream or download the show at crabdiving.com under the K Voice tab or on your favorite podcasting app. I'm also at citizentruth.org. Follow me on Twitter at KellyTheVoice and on Facebook, where you will find all the stories I've discussed on this show and more at K, Voice of Resistance. All right. Take care of yourselves out there. And as always, resist.
Take Voice of Resistance!